a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast and the KSL Sports front page. I'm Ben Anderson. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. And joining me today for a very special interview, Brian Haney. He's the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. As the Jazz now have a member of the Jayhawks on their roster, that is Udoka Azubuike, who joined the Jazz, a four-year player out of Kansas, the 27th overall pick in the draft. Kind of took a winding turn to get to the Jazz, but this is where he is now, and he looks like he's going to fill in as Rudy Gobert's backup. Brian, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben. You mentioned we have 10 minutes. I think this story might take 2 hours. It's such a fascinating tale going all the way back to Nigeria.
Well, yeah, what can you tell us? What do you know?
Well, here's a kid that lost his father at an early age, made the decision at the age of 13 to leave his mother and his siblings to travel halfway around the world for the pursuit of a better life in America and a chance to pursue a basketball future. And he lands in Jacksonville, Florida at the age of 13 and ultimately winds up at Kansas at the age of 16. And I always had to remind myself in covering him his first couple of seasons as he was going through injury and a lot of disappointment that this kid's just 16 years old. I mean, I don't know what you were doing when you were 16, but I wasn't playing in front of millions and having all the pressure on him that he had halfway around the world from my support system, you know? And so poor kid went through so much. And as you probably know, his freshman and junior seasons were cut short due to injury. It was the same injury, just on the opposite hand. Which
and like freakish injuries, right? Like not knees, yeah. Not feet, just like weird torn ligaments.
And not like he was fragile at all. Coach Self said if you took the two x-rays and put them on top of each other, it would be an identical injury in the opposite hands and wrists. So, you know, it's a situation where he had to go through a lot of heartbreak and hardship there and probably felt more alone despite the great family culture that we have at Kansas basketball, to have the reason that you came to America taken away from you so quickly into your freshman season and then have the same exact thing happen at the start of your junior season when the team was number one ranked in the country.
Right.
We were off to a tremendous start, and then he goes down. And you might recall that was the year Kansas went to Vivint Smart Home Arena,
right,
and got run out of the gym by Auburn. You know, Bill Self's been here for going on 2 decades, and there's only been a couple of teams that haven't truly had a chance to win at all, and that was one of them. And the big reason why? Udoka was out. Had we had Udoka playing in his future home next to Dedrick Lawson that year, who knows how far we would have gone. But what he did in his final year at Kansas, in between his junior season and his senior season, getting in the best shape of his life, more confidence. Honestly, he settled in. He really blossomed as a person in terms of his happiness, his demeanor. He went from a shy kid that was so young and so raw and so green to now being a big man on campus, literally and figuratively. Everybody loved this guy. He's saying to the crowd, come on, I want some more. You know, he's getting into it. We saw this personality just blossom out of Udoka. He was so much more confident. He was happy. He was healthy. He was getting fed. And the big boy was eating. And he was as good as any big man in America. And as long as I get to call the Kansas games and as long as I'm walking on this planet, I will feel in my heart of hearts that we were number one with a bullet because we had the best five man in America and honestly one of the best point guards in America. Can't believe Devon didn't get drafted. But we felt like heading into March Madness, this was our chance to really win it all this year for Bill Self's what would have been his second national title. And for Udoka and Devon, it would have been the stage to really catapult them into even more national prominence than a second-team All-American already had going for him. So what a year for him. What a story. And really is a great story, Ben, of persistence and hard work paying off, because all the hardships he was dealt to be halfway around the world from his mother, everything he'd gone through as a child, he didn't give up. He kept working, and look where it got him today.
Yeah, he's really a fighter. He talked about that a little bit last night. We were able to talk to him on the media call after. Really smart, super kind, as you mentioned. Kind of seems like a gentle giant off the floor, but you're right. When you watch him, if a guard misses a rotation, if they miss him where he's open and should have gotten the ball, he will get after him. And I really like that in the center. Like, I want to see a big guy who demands the ball, especially when they can do what he does.
Yeah, he really cares. And, he obviously is as imposing as we've had in recent years, going back to Joel Embiid, who was just a freshman here when he was at Kansas. But if he caught the ball on the low block, there was not a guy in the Big 12 that could deny Udoka Azubuike if he caught it deep. I remember his sophomore season when we got to go to the Final Four and his mother got to fly in and see him play for the first time. In that season alone, he had 120 dunks. And it was just pretty much lob it up, slam it down. We call him on the play-by-play broadcast Udunka. His name is Udoka, but it's Udunka when he's hammering them home. And he was just automatic. Obviously, free throws were something that he had to work on over the course of his career, and at times that was a big mental block and a bugaboo for him. But he got a lot better. He put in a lot of extra effort to get better, and seeing the light kind of come on at the foul stripe for him as a senior and the big smile across his face as he would start to hit him with regularity, that would make the folks at Allen Fieldhouse get to their feet as much as anything, seeing Udoka knock down a free throw. But more than that, Ben, as a shot-blocking presence, a rim protector, a shot alterer, this guy's unreal. Moving side to side, the quickness of his feet, the agility. You saw the vertical leap numbers, which were literally off the charts in the pre-draft combine testing he did. I mean, it truly was one of the rare collections of physical attributes we've ever seen at the big man position. And we've had some good ones in our illustrious history. That hat behind me on the wall signed by Wilt Chamberlain, I already referenced Joel Embiid. So we've had some pretty special specimen in terms of five men at the center position at Kansas. He's built a little differently than Greg Ostertag, I might point out, who was a very good one for you, but they're built a little differently.
I think that is one of the things that Jazz fans are afraid of, is they see, okay, almost 7 feet tall, 6'11 and 3/4 or whatever he is, 270 in his playing days. He said he's down to 260 now. He told us that last night. You think, okay, big and slow. No, he really moves a little bit more like Joel Embiid than kind of your traditional plodding big man. He can move his feet surprisingly well, and that's kind of something that changed as he was at Kansas, because he came in, wasn't in great shape, but really got into better shape by his senior season.
Really did. It's an interesting story that we kind of laugh at now, and I don't know what Jazz fans will think of this, but when he went through the physical transformation prior to his senior year and just got absolutely shredded, he would walk around the locker room with his shirt off, flashing those six-pack abs to the point where his teammates are like, "Doke, put your shirt on, man." But he was so proud because he had gotten in the best shape of his life in front of the most important season of his life. And what unfolded from there was a guy that could run the floor like a gazelle, could cover the entire paint area with a couple of steps, and he's swatting a shot no matter how fast you reverse the ball, contesting everything, coming down with offensive rebounds like crazy. And really, showing the type of physical gifts that very few had. That's why Bill Self said prior to Udoka's senior speech, there's not a better big man in America. We truly have the best center in the country. And in a year and in an era, quite frankly, where there aren't a ton of guys like that, that are that imposing at that position. That's why, more so than anything else, whether it was Devon Dotson or the National Defensive Player of the Year, Marcus Garrett, you ought to try to draft him next year, Jasmine. All those guys were great. But Udoka was the reason we felt like we were the team to beat, had the college basketball world and the entire sports world not come to a screeching halt on March the 12th. He's the reason why we were number one with a bullet. And I'll tell you what, I was just so proud of the man he became. We really, really watched a young boy grow into a man. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true. When the kid shows up at 16 years of age, the way he grew as a person, the way his blossoming personality was on display as a senior, but then the physical transformation too, which made the light come on and the confidence just jump off the charts into a player that I never would have imagined he could have become. Going back to his freshman and sophomore seasons, he just blew past every expectation. And the beauty of it is, he's still, you know, barely 20, 21 years old, you know. And so here's a guy that has so much room for growth. They talk about all the time drafting the NBA is how much of your ceiling do you still have yet to climb? There's still so much untapped potential left with him. That should have Jazz fans really, really excited.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things, and what do I want to ask you about is, well, first of all, he is only, what, he's like 21. So you look at a lot of guys who played 4 years, they're 22, almost 23. He's actually pretty young for a senior, as you mentioned, because he got to Kansas so young. What was the expectation for him? Because we remember guys like, you remember Hashim Thabeet, and was kind of always expected to be a first-round pick, and by the end of his career had climbed up and ended up being a bust as the number 4 overall pick. What about Azubuike? Was there an expectation he was an NBA guy the day he stepped on the floor at Kansas? Was he a later developer? Because his production kind of stalled after a sophomore season. His numbers don't look dramatically different, but he played differently.
Yeah, I think that's like the lineage of Kansas big men under Bill Self that came before him. The expectation as a McDonald's All-American was that he'd be there for a couple of seasons and then move on. And obviously, you know, he comes in the same class as Josh Jackson. That was the season that Frank Mason, who's now with the Bucks, was the National Player of the Year. And another season, quite frankly, Ben, where I know I sound like the shoulda, coulda, woulda guy, but if Doak doesn't get hurt, Kansas was the number one seed that lost to Oregon in the Elite Eight because they had no rim protection. They right. didn't have that true five-man. Bill Self might have won a title that year, too, if he had a healthy Doak. But even if he did, I don't think Doak would have left after his first year. I think he would have been a guy that studied under Landon Lucas his first season, became the man his second season, and then moved on. But because he only played, what was it, 11 games his freshman year, and then had the Final Four run as a sophomore, he really needed that next season to become the guy. And we thought that was going to be his junior year, playing alongside Dedrick Lawson, who was an excellent four-man, big-man passer. We just thought it was going to be one lob after another to Udoka in what should have been a dominating 2019 season. But then he got hurt again. And again, freak deal that happened in practice, season over. And so, you know, the expectation was he was going to be two and done and be a 16-10 guy by a sophomore year. It took 4 years to get there. But again, he had just fractions of his seasons as a freshman and junior. So it's really unfair to judge him and say he was truly a 4-year guy because he basically got 3 seasons adding 2 broken seasons together. And even then, it's not a full year. So I think the transformation we saw in him, honestly, was what was best for him because he was still so young and relatively immature as an 18-year-old. I don't know that he would have been as ready for the pressures of big-time NBA basketball like he is today, just mentally, emotionally, traveling all around the country in that at that point. Maybe this was a blessing in disguise for him. And I know his faith's important to him. Maybe he can look back on it now and say, as tough as that was to miss the bulk of 2 major seasons and 2 potential title runs, it got me deep enough into maturity in my development as just a player and a person at Kansas that made me much more draftable. Because people forget, I mean, he did go to the combine after his sophomore year, and he came back with a laundry list of things he needed to improve on, and he was able to add to a lot of his repertoire as an inside scorer and a more dynamic, rim-protecting, shot-blocking type guy. But more so than any of that, he's now much more mature. I mean, we say he's 21. He just turned 21 in September. Think about that.
Right.
4 seasons on a college campus, and he's just now old enough to vote. You know, so that speaks to just still how young he is. And so I think more than anything, just growing up as an individual was the best thing to come of his 2 additional years beyond expectation.
So, Brian, you've seen, I mean, so many guys come out of Kansas that have long NBA careers or you know, kind of surprisingly poor NBA careers. Frank Mason, you're talking about, who's turning himself into a great rotation player. Joel Embiid's a superstar and looks like he has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. We've also seen Ben McLemore, who's still sticking around, actually had a nice kind of revival. Thomas Robinson was in and out of the league quickly. Josh Jackson, you mentioned, is kind of all over the league right now. What do you see from Azubuike as far as what he can become based on his personality, the work ethic you've seen from him, how he fits in the modern NBA? What do you see from his career?
You know, I think he's a guy that will surpass a lot of expectations coming in, but still needs to add a little bit to his arsenal. He's added kind of a running hook with a back to the basket, 10 feet out, give me the ball, and I'll score over you like that. But obviously, there's going to be a lot more contested shots around the rim than what he had, even playing in a conference as competitive as the Big 12, because everybody's huge now. The thing is, you saw those vertical leap numbers. You saw the athletic testing that he went through. That's probably what vaulted him into the back end of the first round. He's very, very gifted. And still, the trajectory in terms of his development is still upward and onward. So I think for now, he's a guy that could give you 20 minutes a game, who runs the floor, comes up with extra possessions with great offensive rebound prowess, who will deny a lot of shots and alter twice as many more. And he'll be a hardworking, great teammate. That may not, fire folks up hearing that from the Kansas guy the day after you drafted him. You want to hear that he's going to be some perennial all-star. But as you well know, perennial all-stars don't grow on trees. Heck, at Kansas, as many guys as we produce on a yearly basis, it was a long time between Paul Pierce, who was a 10-time NBA all-star, and getting another perennial all-star in Joel Embiid. There were a lot of names like Drew Gooden and Kirk Heinrich and Nick Collison and other guys that came in between Wayne Simeon that were all Americans, but they don't always turn into superstars at the NBA level, right? I mean, there's only 24 all-stars, am I right?
Right.
So I think he's a productive guy who's a great team guy, and yet of all the guys drafted last night that still have so much more room for growth that were college players, he's got to make you excited because the kid's so stinking young, and now he's going to get to work on this full-time as his craft, on top of the great big man coaching that he already had here, because we have put a lot of guys in the league. So we're excited about his future. But I would say for now, a rotational guy with an upside of untapped potential that's pretty special.
You can find him on Twitter at B. Haney. He's the play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. Jazz fans, make sure you go follow him. And you can catch him on the broadcast for Kansas. It is Brian Haney. Brian, I really appreciate you jumping on with us.
Appreciate you having me. I will make this prediction. He will have a bigger mark on Jazz basketball than Jock Vaughn and Greg Ostertag. And I know those guys did well for you, but I think he ends up being more of a contributor, let's call it that, with maybe the outside chance of being a star eventually, because I do think the future is very bright. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks for jumping on.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.